This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Often Everland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation and you don't know what to do, or even if you do know what to do, go on over their website, go to neverland.com. They'll help you plan a great vacation. If you have enough time, they're going to make sure you have everything you need, from your fast passes, your itinerary. They will hook you guys up, and make sure to mention that you are part of the WDW Today family, and we appreciate you guys using them for the year of 2016. Thank you guys so much. Again, their website is go to neverland.com, and as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you gotta do is pack. Go to Neverland.com. Check it out.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, August 3rd, and this is episode 1523 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And we just got back, well, two-thirds just got back from Walt Disney World, so we're going to give a little bit of a trip report and talk to you about our quick trip down. Last week, you may have remembered me kind of talk about how I was planning a last-minute trip. I'll tell you sort of the goods, the bads, the uglies, what all happened. It was a lot of fun, though, and Will ended up joining me.
Hopped on down and spent.
So we were there in the parks Wednesday and Thursday, but we flew down, you know, Riker and I, my son and I, flew down on Tuesday night, and we ended up leaving on Saturday morning. We were supposed to go to the beach, but didn't happen, so we took a last-minute flight out, saved about $400 on our one-way rental car, which was nice. But we had a good time and really were able to experience a lot of the new stuff and have some fun at it.
And you stayed on property this time, not in a house.
I did. We ended up staying at the Bay Lake Tower in a studio, which you may have heard me preach against staying in a studio, because my wife and I have done it, and I felt it was too close for comfort and a little tight. I will say this, that me and my son, it was perfect, mainly because I want to have my eyes on him. I want to know what's going on. Perfect area to play, small areas. And really, I really just enjoyed it. My negative still of the Bay Lake Tower, the studios, I don't really care for the bathroom setup. I don't care for the sink being in the kitchen. I understand you want more room in your kitchen, but when Will stayed with us for one night, we'll get there. It was too hard for me to get my son's breakfast ready and for him to
brush
his teeth. Like, we just were like bumping into each other.
And I will say, though, you had preached against the studio. I was expecting it to be awful.
Yeah.
I didn't find it bad.
Felt
I liked it.
Way bigger than I remember.
And this is two grown men and a child in one room. I was thinking, okay, Logan has said this is the smallest thing on planet Earth. This may be horrible. It wasn't bad for a night.
It wasn't bad for a night.
We may have killed each other.
And it was expensive. That was the last thing. It was hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And the only reason I did it was there was some, I got a good discount, AP discount, but if I hadn't, it was like $600 a night for that studio.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not worth it.
Right. That's where you feel like, okay, that's a bit steep. But for the discount I got, I felt good about it. And my son wanted to stay at the Contemporary, and he wanted to stay on the monorail loop. And I understood that, and we had a lot of fun doing it. And I'm glad, being a single dad for him for like 3 days, that we did stay on the monorail loop and that we did stay at the Contemporary, because we walked back and forth Magic Kingdom once, and we took the monorail the other times and had a really good time. You got to hit up a lot of stuff, but that was really my only negative. The sofa bed was really good. My son and I, he's small enough to where he shared a bed. He's 3.5. We shared a queen bed, and Will, the one night, slept on the pullout. Their pullout's actually pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was actually a lot more comfortable than I was expecting. I did like their proprietary pullout system.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of grab onto this little piece of cloth and yank.
They definitely figured like that out. Like, you
open better than anyone.
There's like you open it and you're ready for like the typical lift your leg up 2 inches off the ground, right. Pull cord.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a lot.
Yeah,
a lot better.
It's literally just pull and walk backwards, and it pretty much comes out and it's all ready to go with sheets and everything. So that made that easy.
There was a lot of crumbs in that bed, though, because
Riker ate on the couch.
Right.
And it kind of sunk through.
So if the two of you decide to mancation again together, I would encourage both the Polynesian and Grand Floridian. They kind of have the newer size studios, which is a lot like the cruise line. I know you've cruised, where there's the two bathrooms. And it's even a little different because the shower is kind of in the second bathroom.
Yeah.
So you kind of have
a toilet room and a shower.
Yeah, it's a lot. And two separate sinks.
Okay, that would have been helpful. And yeah, there are two sinks. There is a sink for just to clear it up.
Kitchen sink.
A kitchen sink and a bathroom sink, but they are facing each other very close. So it was hard in the morning. I still wouldn't. If you're doing a man trip, I would go cheaper and go to a bigger room. I would go even Art of Animation or something like that, or a room that just has two real beds. And Will and I've shared hotel rooms for 30 years, so it's not like we're not used to that. But it was still a little bit tight. But for my son and I will actually, that will be my go-to until he's too big or until he really doesn't want to share a bed anymore. I mean, he wants to right now because he doesn't want to sleep in some weird hotel by himself. So until then, I will stay at the Bay Lake Tower or somewhere on the Monorail Loop, probably in a studio. I liked that I could keep my eyes on him. We stayed at Lakeview because Theme Park View was not available. I was bummed because I only have stayed Theme Park View there. This will be my third or fourth stay at the Bay Lake Tower.
And you wanted Riker to see the
castle. But I have to say, I loved the Lakeview. I was not expecting it. I expected it to be a bummer. But here's what you got. You got the Orlando Eye shining bright and beautiful now. So you can see the Ferris wheel lit up at night. So you have a little bit of that attraction. You can see SeaWorld, a bit of Universal. You can see Mako, the new SeaWorld coaster. And the lake is beautiful. So I actually really enjoyed it. I get up early. So I got up really early, had my breakfast out on the porch while Riker still slept. And I just kind of whispered to him, like, hey, if you need me, I'm out here. And it was great. I really enjoyed the lake view much more than I thought I would. And that was sort of surprising because now I have to say, like, if there's a choice and the price, they're similar, probably still go Theme Park View just because I like being able to see. But honestly, if it's like, look, you get to see a beautiful lake and boats and all these things, or a parking lot with a theme park, I don't know, as an adult by myself,
right,
I may go Lake View.
A little more pleasant, a little more vacation feel.
Yeah, I felt much calmer out there. I liked it. And it was overall, being the last few days of July, it was did not feel crowded. Like, it felt crowded, but it didn't feel level 10 crowded. It felt like a decent kind of off day. Like, it felt all the days we were there. It never felt insane, except for, leaving Wishes or something like that, where it was just got crazy. Overall, it felt very calm and cool, and I really liked it. So where do we go from here, Terry?
So
I'll let you kind of lead this, because we experienced it. You host us.
So we talked about on the show last week about the planning, fast passes. I remember hearing from you. I want to hear about the Rolling Fourth, how that worked for you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, and the Rolling Fourth was a game changer. I mean, it was amazing. In step back, people probably want to know about flying with toddler or flying with, he's almost four. That went fine. No problems at all. He has a passport card, so that actually helped a lot getting him in and out. I didn't take my full passport, just having a photo ID. In and out of security really quick. And he flew fine on Southwest. We didn't have any, thankfully our flight wasn't very full, so we never had anyone next to us, and we had Will with us on the way back home. So that being said, give him an iPad and pretty much he goes, he's fine. Make sure he uses the restroom.
How did you do? Did you do okay? You had no Wi-Fi, so.
First half I was bummed there was no Wi-Fi, but I did okay. I'm not the greatest flyer. So to be with just me and my son, it was a little nerve wracking, but we did okay. And it was 30 minutes late. So we ate the lovely O'Charlies beforehand and didn't get into our hotel till about 11:45 at night. We're supposed to be there at 9:30. We're supposed to be landing at 9:30. So it was a little late for him. Most nights, though, he was getting to bed real late. We'll get to that. But we took a quick bath and got in bed around midnight. Rolling Fourth. So we early morninged it at Magic Kingdom. We didn't rope drop, but pretty darn close. We woke up early, went downstairs, Chef Mickey's at our way to 7 o'clock reservation. We probably showed up around 7:20 and maybe 7:15, 7:20. It was 7:05. We were there by 7:15, 7:20, just running late, just getting out the door and getting him sunscreened on so we didn't have to do any of that later. And Chef Mickey's was great, as always. Had a great experience. Had to move tables once because the table was like right next to the air conditioning unit, and something I never thought I'd complain about, but he was just freezing. He was like, I'm freezing. So we had to move because they keep that thing ice cold if possible. And if you're right next to the air conditioning, it's going to be cold. So we moved from Chef Mickey's, ate really fast. We were very lucky that like all of the characters came by, like boom, the characters, they did the little towel or the little napkin show. Everyone raised their napkin. He loved it as always. Great pictures with the characters. Love Chef Mickey's. Can't preach more. We get to the Magic Kingdom and we have fast passes lined up starting at 8:30. So we get to the park about 8:20. By the time we get from Main Street, and our first fast pass was Peter Pan's flight. And Peter Pan's flight had a 20-minute wait at that point, 25-minute wait. This was only 20 minutes after the park opened. He had never done Peter Pan, so I was excited to see what he thinks. He really enjoyed it. He loved it, and we went on Peter Pan, and he'd seen the boats, Disney Infinity, that fly, so because they have the park ride boats. So he knew about it and kind of knew what to expect. He liked it. I wouldn't say he walked away saying that was his favorite, but he walked away going, yeah, that was fun. I liked it. And Peter Pan, he doesn't really know much about it. It was Tinkerbell and Peter Pan, but he doesn't really know the movie. So he liked it. It was good. By the time we got out of the line, it was a 50-minute wait, which I have to say, I know you're a huge Peter Pan fan, big fan. I do not understand waiting that long line for that ride.
I think it's the nostalgia of it's one of those rides that you remember. That's the first like thrilling ride that a lot of people have as their little child.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing. I love Peter Pan, but I won't wait an hour for it.
Yeah.
I'll just skip it. I'll be like, I'll ride it next time.
Of the dark rides that are at Magic Kingdom, I don't understand that wait. I go through it and I go, that was fine. At the time as a kid, I remember loving it, but I don't even think for my son, who's been on a lot of these other attractions, he was like, yeah, that was awesome. It was awesome for you as a kid. Think about whether your kid will think it's just as awesome, whether it's worth your wait. Great to get a fast pass early. The Rolling Fourth, they only had it again till like late in the evening. So
the queue makes the new queue, which you don't get to see when you do the fast pass.
Yeah.
The new queue definitely does make a 30 to 35 minute wait a lot more tolerable.
Yeah. So to kind of breeze past this, I won't spend too much time, but I want to bring Riker on to talk about it. So we walked out of Peter Pan, went straight. He wanted to go to Small World, right across Small World. We legitimately had zero wait. It was we walked in, did not stop walking until we got on the boat, which was awesome. Wasn't even a 5 minute wait, 10 minute wait. It was now it would have been that way. I think if we hadn't fast pass, probably would have been a 3 or 4 minute wait, maybe. But so we knocked, that wasn't a fast, actually, no, that wasn't a fast pass. That wasn't one of our fast passes of the day. We just walked straight on. There was legitimately no wait. This is only now like 7:35 in the morning, 8:40, sorry. We do Small World. Great. Knocked that one out. Our next fast pass was, and he loves Small World, was Haunted Mansion. Same thing. Haunted Mansion is at Scrim up right now in front of the thing, and it's kind of a bummer. Like, it takes away from a lot of the vibe outside, but it was okay. So we fast passed Haunted Mansion. Again, probably not much of a wait, but I kind of wanted to kill my first three fast passes just to get to that Rolling Fourth to see how it would work. So we did Haunted Mansion, and, you know, everything was great. I had no problems with that. As usual, you've heard, he loves Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion, we moved on to... we went to Pirates. It's the first time my son's on Pirates. So he did it once as a baby. Like, we held him. Like, he doesn't remember. First time cognizant going on Pirates. And I was a little concerned because the first 5 minutes of it, pretty freaky. Dark. Whether it's the drop, whether it's the cannon shooting, he was great. Thought it was hilarious. Thought it was a lot of fun. He loved it. So much so that we ended up buying this giant pirate set of toys that he would not let me send back to my hotel to pick up. He wanted to hold it and walk around. So he held it. I got a photo pass picture of him holding it in front of Pirates for his first ride. It's actually kind of a cool picture. And he really loved it. And those rides we've done 1,000 times, they do take on sort of a new life when you're riding it with your kid, because Pirates usually kind of feels long to me. By the end of it, I'm like, okay, I'm done. It felt like in no time we were at that final scene with Jack Sparrow. I was like, wow, that feels like nothing, because he was taking everything in for the first time and just blown away by it. And he loved it. I mean, he just loved it. And he didn't really, a lot of these new attractions, he doesn't really react. Like, not a lot of laughing or goofing off. Like, he just gets kind of just almost stone-faced and takes it all in, and then later tells you if he liked it or didn't like it. And overall, he loved Pirates. He will probably say that's one of his favorites now. But definitely his number one most favorite ride was Buzz. And he had not done, I think he maybe had done that also, was the Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger spin. Man, yeah. He loved that. That was like heaven to him, you know, because he loves Buzz. We took our picture with the big robot Buzz, which is very hard to take a picture of, but they let you go on the other side of the line to take a picture of Buzz. We did not, at that point, we were onto our Rolling Fourth. So we got a, because we had fast passed Peter Pan, Haunted Mansion, and Pirates, and Small World we just rode. So Buzz was our first one on the Rolling Fourth, and to just get it, I mean, we had it. I was between Pirates and Buzz. It was maybe 15 minutes tops.
Enough
time to walk over there. So I had, you know, I preach this, and it still works fine, is to just check as soon as you ding in, as soon as you hit your green fast pass, if you have the time, go on the app and see what the next available is while you're in the queue. And with that, you can update your time. And some of these attractions, they weren't available early times, but for Buzz, there was an early time. For Haunted Mansion and Pirates, we're both able to move those up 30 minutes or an hour. And we had, you know, folks, we only did Magic Kingdom from 8:30 to 12:30. And 12:30 we had lunch. That was the only time we were there. We were able to hit all of these attractions. So if we did the Fast Pass Plus, fourth rolling pass for Buzz, great, awesome. He wanted to do that again. So the next thing we did was we went and met Buzz, and that was the longest wait of the day. That was probably a 20-minute wait to meet Buzz, because Buzz takes time with kids and it's stinking hot. I've done that meet and greet twice, and I dislike the location because I feel like the sun is always just bearing down on you.
Yeah, right there.
But Riker really wanted to meet Buzz, so I wasn't going to tell him no. So we met Buzz. That was great. Onto the people mover, and while we were waiting for Buzz, I got another, you can do this, which I didn't know, you can re-ride on your fourth fast pass. So I was able to get another fast pass for Buzz, though we had already done it. So I just assumed you'd kind of be like Universal, if you buy their fast pass, just their standard one, not the unlimited, it's one per attraction.
One time, yeah.
Nope, Disney, you can re-ride whatever you want.
So I've heard that they're taking out kind of that second touch point. Did you guys find that?
No, there was no second touch points at all. Not one attraction. Maybe Soarin'. I don't think so.
Which I understand like why they had them before, and hopefully no one kind of makes the need for them to go back, because they were doing it because that was sort of where you
jumping in line.
Jump lines. Yeah.
I saw maybe a couple people do that, but very rare. I don't think so. Look how many people stand in line for the monorail.
There was a second touch point.
It went Soarin'?
Mm-mm.
On what?
On Frozen.
On Frozen. Okay, that's probably why on Frozen.
We dinged in. And then we dinged in right before we went through.
We'll get to that. But there, Magic Kingdom there, I didn't see one.
They're in the process of supposedly taking them out because they're saying that
slowing stuff
down. They're trying to make that a Fast Pass Plus a lot smoother. So you do get...
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be able to, put away whatever you're using. Using a Magic Band, it's not like it's harder. But it definitely went by really fast without it. But I was prepared, because I've done this so many times, to ding in again. And I didn't have to. But as soon as you ding in now the first time, then a lot of these, you can go ahead and make an update on your app and you can re-ride. Do People Mover. You love the People Mover. I love the People Mover. Great ride. Hopped on People Mover. Done with People Mover. We crossed over the Speedway, Tomorrowland Speedway. That's what he wanted to do. Wanted to do Tomorrowland Speedway. Check the app. Well, I said, buddy, Buzz is the second re-ride for Buzz. No, don't want to do it. We can do it. Come on. Can't do it. I couldn't get a fast pass for Speedway. It's 45-minute wait. I'm like, dang it. This is going to stink. So we're starting to walk. I was like, you sure you don't want to do Buzz? You sure you don't want to do Buzz again? Because I'm like, that's great. It's fully air conditioned. I love that ride. No, he wants to do Speedway. He wants to drive a car, because what kid doesn't? And we walk up and I'm like, let me check the app. The app wasn't really giving me an accurate wait time. So like, let's walk up and see what the wait is. The wait was 45 minutes in the brutal heat, because that, and some of that is underneath the fans, but it's still a brutal line. There's nothing to do. It would have been me handing him my phone and letting it drain. Check the app one more time. Popped up. Fast pass in 40 minutes. In 20 minutes or 30 minutes. So I said, great. Took that fast pass in 30 minutes. I said, buddy, we don't have to wait. We can go do something else. We'll come back in 30 minutes. So we just went over to Cosmic Rays, grabbed ourselves a drink, sat down, little kids' tables up front in front of a sunny eclipse, and enjoyed 30. He thought that was great. He'd never seen that. Loved it. At that point, he had bought a little Duffy bear that was dressed like Sorcerer Mickey. And he was dancing with him. It was super sweet. Good time to cool down. Cooled down. Had a drink. Autopia. Not Autopia. Whatever they call it there. Tomorrowland Speedway. Our fast pass came up. We walked over. We were in a car in probably 5 minutes, 6 minutes. It wasn't too long. Still hot out there, though, so I was glad to get in. He loves that ride. He's a kid who wants to drive a car. So we did it. Halfway through it, he is wearing my Orlando City hat. It flew off.
Oh, no.
But there's attendants, and the attendant, I kind of yelled at her. I was like, man. And she said, yeah. She was like, his hat just fell off. And she's like, okay, great. And ran it. And legitimately had us just stop a little bit further. She like waved us down, stopped, handed me the hat. We kept going on the ride. So we didn't lose the hat. And, they have people out there on that ride to make, because I'm sure that happens all the time. Especially if you give a child an adult size hat, like I did.
What I'm impressed so far is you guys are full on gung hoing this.
I mean, oh yeah,
you got up, had 7 o'clock breakfast.
We're killing it,
and you are head down. You are going for Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, and then that was sort of the last attraction we did. We then ate at Be Our Guest. Now I looked on the app and I got us a Dumbo, and it was just too much. We were just too tired. If your kid was slightly older though, and I'm talking about if he was probably five, we could have stayed another doesn't really do naps, like does later naps. We probably could have gotten everything. The only thing that we didn't do that I probably would have liked to have tried, he wanted to do Splash and he changed his mind. Just saw it and said, yeah, it's a little, it's intimidating when you see it in person. With Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That was the only thing we didn't get to do. And I don't really care about missing that, but I think he would have liked it. That was the only thing that I saw on Fast Pass Plus, fourth Fast Pass, other than maybe some meet and greets and stuff, that was not available and just continually not available. And once I think it opened up for late evening, like 9:30.
One of the things I constantly see listener questions about, Twitter comments, Facebook comments, I can't get X, whether it's a dining plan.
Keep checking.
Or fast. Man, always keep checking. I mean, I'm talking to Logan and Will while they're on this trip, and they're trying, I think you guys at the time were trying to schedule safari, nighttime safari.
Yes.
We're trying to figure out what to do it. And in the course of like 10 minutes, you had like 15 different time options to choose from.
Yeah.
Because people like you are constantly dropping them. And if you're kind of there when someone drops it, pick it up.
Yeah. The only attractions to skip forward, we did not see that option. In safari, there were plenty of options. And honestly, it was a 5-minute wait when we got there. So we probably didn't even need it. But I was kind of like, I don't want to, we were trying to make a dinner. I was like, I don't want to, or no, we're trying to make wishes. And I was like, I don't want to go too late. But the only ones I didn't see that never popped up, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Frozen. Those are the only two things that never, they consistently, there was not a fast pass. But we went to be our guests then for lunch. Our service was not the best. It was good. We sat down, they gave us the rows. We actually, though, did get to eat 40 minutes early, or 30 minutes early. We had a 12:30 or 12:45 reservation. We ended up eating at 12:10. Plenty of tables. They gave us the rows because we had pre-ordered food. And I was kind of expecting pre-order food. I'm going to go sit down, and in 2 minutes, they're going to bring me the food. It was a good 15 minutes of just waiting for our food. When really we ordered it a turkey sandwich. And I had I couldn't really eat. I ate a big breakfast because I'm allowed to eat bacon and sausage and things for this diet. And I wasn't going to eat lunch. I think they brought me like a quiche and salad. I ate some of the salad. But it took a little while. That was and it was fine because we need to cool down anyway. But I was expecting more of it to be quick service-ish. Where
I think what they're trying to do there is that it's kind of a faux quick service.
Yeah.
They want you to sort of – they've got a time and the amount of like – it's a tough timing because if you've never been to that restaurant and that's your first experience, you kind of walk into that main hall. The drinks are kind of there on the right. And you're kind of like at a loss for what to do.
Yeah.
So Will, I got to hear from you because Logan is just – going on and on about their epic morning. I want to hear from you about something that I know our listeners are going to know, and that's about like crowds, because it seems like this time of the year is typically one of the busiest vacation times of the year. Here in Tennessee, this is the week kids are starting to go back to school, so it's kind of like the last hurrah, last summer trip. Do you feel like surge ticketing pricing is affecting crowds? Because it sure seems like they're way down.
Yeah, it was not as busy as I was expecting. I think part of that is the fact that people were gearing up to go back to school. So I don't think that it was, I think their last hurrah was maybe the week before.
It wasn't the peak time to go.
Right. And so it was, it was really not super crowded in my opinion. I didn't ever feel like claustrophobic except for that one time I was getting on the late night safari Animal Kingdom.
We'll it was like there. God.
But yeah, the crowds were, and also part of it is probably the heat. It was brutal. It was like heat index of like 109 some days. So it wasn't pleasant really to be outside, and we were gung-ho in it trying to get all these things done, especially things that we haven't done yet that are newer. Yeah. And it was not the best weather to be outside of the theme park.
So we went after Be Our Guest, which I'd say was the only thing that was kind of like, man, it was fine. Food was good. You know, we got Riker the great stuff he thought was Lair's. We sat in the spooky room and he liked that. A little hard to eat there when you're just dad and kid. Because you got to get up, get your own drinks and all that. It's a bit of a pain. I found that a lot of those kind of things. It's definitely all of those are made for having two parents with you or two attendants.
So you have like a new respect for single dads?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a blast. My son and I are very similar, though he's 3.5, when it comes to like how hardcore we'll go in the morning. Like if this was my wife and I and the girls, like we would have been back home before Pirates. Like we would have done 3 attractions and they would have been melting down. It would be too hot. But for him, we just kind of were able to rock through it. So we actually had a lot of fun. Went back, took a nap. And woke back up. He took a long nap. Had to wake him up. And we went out to Hollywood Studios. And Hollywood Studios was great. We ran into the Disney Junior last show, which is when my son becomes 3.5 again. It's awesome. Like he just loves it. So he did that. No problems with that show. It was awesome. Moved on from there. We watched the new Star Wars stage show, which for him was really great. And for me was kind of lame. The beginning opening video I think is amazing. Like I got almost weirdly emotional about it because I get emotional when they do Star Wars montages. But it was out in brutal heat. The parades had already ended, so we didn't get to see Phasma or anything do the parade part because I didn't realize they stopped that like midway through the shows. They don't do all that for every show. The last 2 or 3 shows, they don't do it. And we went and we watched that show. He was front row center view of it. He loved it, which I have to say, we only showed up about 10 minutes, 15
what
minutes
before. What happens into the show? Like, what is there's so a
there's,
montage?
There's screens, big montage, and then pretty much they just bring out characters for 30 seconds to a minute, and they're all villains except for Chewie and the droids, because I guess how would they do it? But so it starts, it moves quickly, it's, I'm not sure what order. So it starts with C-3PO and R2-D2. They come out and talk a little about Star Wars, about George Lucas making it, I believe, and something like that. Then it moves on to, you see Vader, you see Darth Maul, it's Kylo Ren, and they literally just walk out on stage and do like the background will change, and they'll do like 2 or 3 minutes. Not even, no, 15 or 20 seconds. Like Darth Maul will do a spin on, it looks like his backdrop. They each do that, and Stormtroopers, Captain Phasma, Boba Fett, Chewie, and BB-8. And BB-8 just kind of rises, like he doesn't roll around. He rises from the bottom of the floor because they don't have him actively rolling. Still was cool to see him. And that was it. And they all come out, take photo, like do like a, they all stand and they play the Star Wars song and you take some pictures of them. And that was it. It was fine. It felt very placeholder-y. Like it didn't feel like they spent any money on it, 'cause all the costumes they had already. One part I loved, and this is a spoiler if you haven't seen it. So, you know, if you want to skip, you can, is that Kylo Ren takes his lightsaber and he slashes the screen. And when he does that, like he has like his temper tantrum, it like cut holes in like the banner that's on the screen. I just like that, 'cause I like they incorporated the temper tantrum. After that, ran over to Star Tours, fast passed it. Loved it as usual. Didn't have any problems there. After that, had a quick dinner at Backlot Express. Had the Riker had the Darth Vader chicken and waffles.
Yeah, how was the Star Wars food?
Fine. I mean, the chicken and waffles was cool. The black burger looked funny. I didn't eat. I had a shake that time, for the weight loss stuff. But he ate it and he seemed to enjoy it. We quickly then ran over because we were running out of time, and did the dessert party. And the dessert party was. I'll just keep it short. If you want a guaranteed really good spot for the fireworks and for that new Galactic Spectacular, 100% worth it. If you're going there for the desserts and for the party part about it, not worth your time.
I don't think I've ever been. All the dessert parties are sort of like the desserts that you don't eat on the buffets half the time, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, Riker liked it, and they were Star Wars themed. Like, here's a BB-8 cupcake. Here's a Rice Krispie treat dipped to look like R2-D2. And that was cute and fun. I don't feel like I got any way of the money out of the dessert party from the dessert part. I also couldn't eat a lot of desserts myself. But they also had some chicken, and they had some hummus dips and those things. And they had adult beverages that you could buy, waters and sodas and teas and coffee. For free. So I guess if you went there for the whole time, we only went there about 30 minutes before it was time to go do the fireworks, because he wanted to meet Chewie and Kylo Ren. It was fine. It just was fine. Chewie would be great with Kylo Ren. Less scary this time, did a funny bit to him, which I liked. I don't know if that's new or it's something they realize if they're little kids, don't go so intense. And so his bit with Riker was about recruiting him to the dark side because he could sense the force in him. So he didn't at all do anything that was frightening.
So you could... Unlike any of the other dessert parties, there was character. You also got kind of a character meet and greet.
Well, you could leave. Number one, you could just leave the dessert party. You're in launch bay, which was great. It was air conditioned, all that. I love that. You're in launch bay. So if you ate a few desserts, then you saw by that time, people are all waiting in line for fireworks. So Chewie and Kylo Ren had 5-minute waits to meet them. I mean, legitimately, Kylo Ren had no one in line. We were the only people in line to meet Kylo Ren. Chewie had about 15 people, I'd say, in line. So we got through those. If you want to skip if you're looking to meet them and you're looking to skip the fireworks, go then. Great, no lines. And after that, you're escorted to fireworks. But before that, so there was a little bit of Disney magic that happened. So the stormtroopers, the First Order stormtroopers, walk through the launch bay. Always. They're always kind of patrolling. But they went through a dessert party specifically, and unlike usual, they stopped and took pictures with everybody. So they almost went table to table because you had these little tables. And then my son was next, and I just don't think they could see him. It's very dark in there. Who knows what their vision is like? And they just breezed past him, and actually, that was the end of their line. Like, we were kind of near the door, and they just blew past him. And my Riker looked at him and goes, "That was very rude to the stormtroopers." And he was kind of bummed. Like, I could tell, like, Riker loves the stormtroopers. So I told the cast member next to me, I wasn't rude at all. I said, "Hey, even if this is not for this time, but, you know, we were pretty much in line because it was kind of set up that way to interact with the stormtroopers and get his picture with them." And they don't think they saw him. And they breathed past him. She said, "Okay, stay right here." About 5 minutes later, she comes back. She says, "Okay, go stand in the spot with me. They know they're going to come back out just for a minute for you guys." And they came back out, gave Riker probably 2 or 3 minutes, which feels like that's a long time for character interaction. Played around with him, joked around with him, took some pictures. Though Riker, the pictures are horrible because he just was so interacting with him. And then quickly moved away. And they went back, which ticked off some other families. They're like, what about us? But they didn't understand the situation that happened. So Disney did fix that. You know, small little gripe I had, which was, hey, he's met the stormtroopers before. It wasn't a big deal, but he was in line. So, like you always say, you know, like, what do you always say?
Yeah, I mean, don't leave unhappy. Like, if you, Disney has right. a problem,
they're going to try.
I mean, and I love that because I see people come home all the time from their trip and they go, this happened. I'm like, did you say anything? Well, no, Disney can't. Disney can do a lot of magic, but they can't read your mind. You have to tell them that.
Yeah.
And almost every, even if it's just, really, that was a simple problem for Disney to fix, so they just fixed it.
Yeah, they fixed it in 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
And now you're freaked out. It was amazing.
And I loved it. It was great. It made his night, and I really enjoyed it. And I thought that was a cool thing for them to do. I was expecting them to say, sorry, but we'll know for next time to look down to see a 3-foot-tall person. So that was it. So they escort you. You march with the stormtroopers out to your spot, which is really neat. And they had another kid was dressed like a First Order stormtrooper, so they let him lead the group.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've heard they did that recently with a kid dressed as Kylo Ren that kind of went viral. So they treat the characters as if they're characters. And I guess the Jawas were around too. We missed them, but from what I heard, they were around too earlier in the night, early dessert party. The spot for the fireworks is killer. It is not dead center. It's like center left. But the only thing you can't really see is the left projection screen, but it mimics, I believe 90% of it is on what's on the right screen. So you had a perfect view. I had a hold Riker. It wasn't like sit, but they had an area for kids to sit that was in front of the parents. I didn't get in there because I don't know. It kind of weirded me out. Like it was just a rope blocking them and I couldn't really see Riker. And you kind of have to trust your kids to really go sit with a bunch of other kids and it could have easily run out. So I said, no, he didn't want to. He wanted to stay with me. And the spot alone, you got a Chewbacca Stein, which is awesome. So you did something cool from this. The spot that we had for the fireworks and the spectacular was awesome. And I mean, if you wanted that spot, you would have had to have been there a couple of hours. And you didn't have to do that for this and being out in the heat. This was fantastic. You could bring your drinks and food with you if you wanted to. I just didn't have enough hands for it.
And that's really what most of the experiences that you're paying for at Disney.
Yeah.
You're buying time.
Yeah.
That's really what Disney does these upsells.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Fantasmic dinner package or whatever.
You don't have to wait.
And I know they're crazy expensive. And we talk about sometimes on the show that like, wow, it's so much money.
Yeah. It would have been difficult for my whole family. But with just Riker and I, it came out to a little under $100. It was like $60 for me and $35 for him. I don't feel like I could got that out of the food, but I did get that out of the fireworks. Like I will do it again because the spot for the fireworks was great. And I didn't have to be out there in the heat.
I love the fact that it's inside, away from everything.
Yeah,
it's literally pretty, just.
And I love the march. And it was fun, and they made a show out of it, and I really liked it. And the spectacular, which we can talk about on another show, is
spectacular.
Oh my god, I loved it. Like I loved it. There's some weird stuff with projecting on the Chinese theater, like that. Just like they still have the Great Movie Ride signs. Like it looks like Jakku, but the sand you can see the Great Movie Ride sign. Like almost they need to adjust some things to make it perfect. But it's pretty darn perfect, and you know the fireworks are really cool. It's definitely less fireworks, it feels like, than the old show, but it's a better show. It is a great melding of that castle pre-show and fireworks, and you know it's scary, it's fun, it's exciting. It's all the great moments from the original trilogy, a few moments from Force Awakens, and a very few moments from the prequels. I mean, you're talking a couple scenes from the prequels. They clearly stayed away from that. And then that was, I mean, it was just great. Like I can't really speak highly of the other than that was an amazing show. And there's a moment in it where General Hux comes out and it's that moment where he's kind of screaming to the stormtroopers, like almost his Nazi-esque speech, you know, not really fun words to say, but just kind of what it is, when they're on Starkiller Base. And that moment happens, you see all the stormtroopers, you know, raise their hands. And that moment was like just amazing because General Hux is like to scale and everything, like it feels like you're there. I really loved it. I can't speak highly enough of the Star Wars stuff. And I think we're going to do a Star Wars cast coming up because our friends over at Coffee with Kenobi want to do some co-show with us. So I think I'll get more into detail of that in a later date. But I thought it was a beautiful show and really enjoyed it.
Even when it was just the fireworks, that show is quickly becoming one of my favorite experiences to do at the parks. I remember when you guys did, was it last tour to Endor where they first did those fireworks?
Oh, I cried. I don't cry. And I'm not the crying Disney person. Like, I rarely cry. And it was amazing. Well, it's fireworks there are just, The fireworks at Hollywood Studios feel like feel like New Year's Eve fireworks every night because they surround you almost 180. Like they are, if you're where you sit there, they are to the left and right of you and in the middle, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And what I've seen with the pyro that they're doing with that, it's just, it's a win.
It was awesome.
Well done, Imagineering.
Yes. I thought it was great. And I think old Roddy did that he used to do Halloween Horror Nights. He does that now. A friend of the other show, of the Scare Zone. He's developing the whole Star Wars land. Awesome guy. So to wrap that up, we actually just grabbed a Fast Pass afterwards for a great movie ride.
Oh, nice.
And it's when everyone was going back.
You just went right in the gravy.
We walked straight in. They actually didn't even ding us in because they're like, there's no wait. Just go. And we went. You know, it's 15, 17 minute long ride. And by the time we got out, the park was empty. Now, I think there was a Fantasmic going on, but it was like, you can hear a pin drop. So one of our listeners, who is a friend of mine who actually does our photos for Scare Zone, he was there taking photos. So he came up and grabbed some photos. And we just played along. It was late, I would say. It was like 10:30. We played along the, it was probably 10, 15. Played with all the handprints and all the stuff you don't really get to spend much time on the Chinese theater. And, I mean, there was legitimately no wait to get out. We walked straight out, straight to our car, and got out. And that, I would suggest that for anyone going. If your kid's old enough to do Great Movie Ride, and Riker did okay on it. I think it's probably his least favorite ride because of the scary parts on it. I gave him my phone actually during the alien part, and I gave him my phone during the horror part. And certain the shooting stuff. Like, I haven't done it in a few years. Like, it's, I mean, Will kind of touched on that. It's pretty stinking intense when you're a kid. And look, I'm never one of those people, like, the times need to change the show. The times need to change that the Great Movie Ride. The gangster sequence, some of the cowboy sequence as well, but mainly a gangster sequence. You know, not to be all Debbie Downer, but there's too much of that going on in sort of the real world where people are all shooting each other. When it's happening during a attraction, not necessarily even for him, my son, who was scared by it, but different scared. For me, it was more like almost felt insensitive and felt like it was time. You could acknowledge, like you could have the, you know, the cool scenes with the You Dirty Rat and all that, and that's fine. I think those work great. But the live actors and some of the animatronics, very loud. I think it's time for those to say goodbye.
Definitely agree with that because I think when those movies were made, like we were romanticizing about the old West,
right?
It's like, or this time gone by, and now you know we're talking about,
yeah.
There's too much. You sort of want to go on a theme park ride
to not be reminded reality, of that,
not
yeah.
necessarily.
And it, weird things run through your mind during that. And it will mention even like the hostage part of it. Needs to go. Look, I got married in that ride. Essentially, we had our wedding reception there. I'm not a fan of changing those things. It just felt it was too intense for my kid, and it felt unnecessary in 2016 to be doing it, especially when Disney pretty much says, you know, no guns in our attractions anymore, or movies anymore. No, you know, they're preaching all this, and weirdly, some of the characters smoke, which you forget, which doesn't bother me at all. But it's funny because they have this big no smoking policy now at Disney on movies. It's like there's Clint Eastwood lighting up. I'm like, I don't mind it. I think it's fun, but odd that the stuff they change and then the stuff they leave. That's the odd thing to me. Not that they, because they do adjust for times. I mean, we know what they've recently removed and brought back a few times over the last few weeks. So he left it going. His favorite part was they show a clip of The Incredibles at the end. And that's that, Mary Poppins and Oz were the only things he really talked about. Didn't really love it. He loved Poppins. But he told me, he's like, it's a little scary. It was a little too intense. So, you know, something to keep your eye out. And then that was it. We went home and went to bed. And I'll wrap that up there. So that was the end of our night one, really. I mean, we'd spent the night before, but this was the end of our parks night one. And we've been recording for a while. So guys, what we're going to do is there's still a whole nother day, really 2 days almost, of stuff we did. And we will get to that. We're going to release a show. This is Wednesday. We're going to release a show on Friday as well with the second part of the trip report. We don't want to leave, you know, these details out because I feel like these are the tips you need, not just here's what we did. It was fun. You know, so we'll try to make this a little beefier. So on Friday, expect another show of WDW Today. And I hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll be back, though, still with listener questions with Lynn right after this. Well, how do you do? All right, just take a quick break, guys. We are just under 2 months away from De Las Puertas, the unofficial Disney fan celebration. And we're going to have a blast. Will and I were just out at the venue.
That's right. We got to go check out the Performing Arts Center in beautiful Claremont. You drive by some beautiful orange groves. You know what I took away the most? Not how great the venue is, because it is great. It's going to be incredible and have so much fun. But how quickly we got there.
Yeah.
I was on the fence. I'm like, okay, is Claremont that close? It's so close. Like, it took longer to get the Chick-fil-A biscuit that we got for breakfast than it did actually to get to Claremont. So I'm excited about the proximity to the parks so that people aren't going to really have to get away from Disney. It's going to be a fun time. I'm looking forward to it.
From the Contemporary, stopping at, you know, at a Chick-fil-A,
which was technically out of the way.
We went to the 192 Chick-fil-A and then headed up. You can head up all straight 192 to Claremont if you want to. We went out to Claremont. We were there, including the stop, probably 40 minutes without the stop, just driving time, 25 minutes with going out of the way.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, guys, it's close. I made a joke. It's like you wait longer for the monorail than you will to get out there. And it's going to be really cool. The people are excited at Claremont. We want to see you guys out there. I know that I just saw that Mulch, American Martian, just started really promoting it. We want you guys to be out there as well. And hey, use this code and you get 10% off. Use the code DLPTALENT10. That's DLPTALENT10. I believe it's all caps. And you get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, come see Mulch. Come see Off Kilter. Come see the Dreamfinder. He's going to be out there signing books and hanging out with him. He's also, you know, he's going to be Walt Disney in this new Frozen Head movie. I mean, I don't know much about it, but he's going to be doing that. And we're going to have a lot of fun out at DLP Fest, British Invasion. So many great bands. Go to the website. It's dlpfest.com. Get your tickets today and let us know. Tweet us. Let us know you're going to be joining us because we want to be able to say hi to each and every one of you. dlpfest.com. Come join us. Let us know. Now, back to listener questions with Lynn.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
So Christine wants to know, do you know if the refurbishment of Big Thunder Mountain will make it like the ride in Disneyland?
I'm thinking this is just a regular maintenance ride.
Yeah, just clean it up.
How long is it down?
A couple months. It's not long enough to do anything super, super major on it. They might be adding some QFX, but I don't think they're doing anything else.
I feel like Big Thunder in Disneyland was down for like 16 months.
It was down for a long time.
Yeah, and this is not that.
Not that. All right.
They completely replaced the track. I mean, that was a full-on...
They incredible hooked it. All right, let's move on to next question. That's a short one. Sorry, we don't really know, but most likely no. Liliana Garcia is actually the ring announcer on WWE Raw. Morning, guys. I have a few questions for our very first trip to Walt Disney World. Well, thank you for listening. I was hoping you guys could answer. Number one, can we request a room if we rent DVC points? Let's just start there. All right. So she said if we will be staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge Savannah Review in a suite and wanted to request Kidani Village. Second floor so we can get a good look at the giraffe. Does this sound like a good idea to get a great view?
Yes.
All right.
You have to specifically book a room at Kidani, not at Jumbo House, if you want to stay at Kidani, because they are separate reservations.
Hotels. Like you check in at...
At Kidani.
Hey, quick question, because I think there's a change since last time. When I stay at Bay Lake Tower, I can check in at Bay Lake Tower, right?
Yeah.
Because for a while, I went there when it first opened. I had to stay, like the weekend opened. I had to check in at Contemporary. Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. That's too.
Okay, cool.
Unless you check in super late. I think that closes.
I'll be checking in fairly late.
Is it closed late, Lynn? Last time I was there, it was like closed at 9 when I was going to the Top of the World Lounge.
You know, the last time I was there was to go to Top of the World Lounge at like 10 or 11, and they definitely had both desks open.
Okay. So, you know, so I'll be getting in around 10. So, all right.
No, good. Yeah, I think you're fine. Yeah, go to Bay Lake first.
Good. All right. Okay, so number two of this person's question. Does Touring Plans offer an unofficial guide for couples or a touring plan for couples? I guess what they mean. I know they have one for traveling with children, but we don't have any yet.
We used to do one for adults. We don't do it anymore.
All right. So sorry. Yeah, sorry. But you get a lot of information out of it, so I suggest.
Lynn, we should co-author a book on the unofficial guide for couples. Not like you and I as a couple.
You and me together?
Yeah. Been there.
Sure. I don't know.
Where have you been, Logan?
Take that as you will.
I took it as I did.
Yep. All right. This is number three. What is your favorite character dining restaurant and why? And I think we all probably have answers to that. Lynn, characters.
Victoria and Albert's is mine.
That waiter. He's hilarious.
He is awesome.
Albert is my favorite.
Garden Grove at the Swan, because there are so few people there, like especially, you know, in the slow time season, where you actually have to ask the characters to leave you alone so you could eat.
That's good to know.
Yeah,
Tusker House by far, and The one that's not a character anymore, I would throw back to the old when Remy was at Chefs de France. I loved that. That was cool. But Tusker House is just fantastic. I think the characters are great there. The food is fantastic. I think it's the best food at a character dining experience in Orlando. Mm.
If you're asking my son, he would say Chef Mickey's. So we almost always have to do Chef Mickey's. However, I really liked the Ohana breakfast we did. This was a few months back that was with Stitch and Lilo, but also Mickey and I believe Mickey and Pluto and maybe one other. And it was actually really fun. I liked it better than a breakfast buffet because they brought you all your food. Mm-hmm. And so you didn't have to leave the table. And the characters, again, had maybe a little bit more time than they do at Chef Mickey's because Chef Mickey's is crazy insane every time you're there. But they're both a lot of fun. A little bit of a plus also. I don't know if they do this every time, but Stitch even had like a photo pass photographer with him. So we actually got to get some family photos at the character dining when usually it's the one person has the camera. Sometimes I guess you can hand it to their handler, but we usually don't do that. But so that's just a fun little tip. All right. And Will doesn't eat with characters.
Not a fan.
I was at Ohana, not Ohana, at Comic Cafe over the weekend. Have you guys noticed how thin Disney is able to slice the bacon on the meals? Like, if they sliced it any thinner, it would only have one side.
I feel like now you're looking like, what else? What have I not covered? What have I not covered? like, how thick is the bacon?
That's called cost-cutting measures.
I'll look for it this time. I will, because I'll be doing breakfast. I think I'm doing Chef Mickey's. So I'll be doing Chef Mickey's. I'll take a look as I pile on. I think it's Chef Mickey's. I just pile on 1,000 pieces and I'm fine.
That's true. Yeah.
They have a fourth one piece. They have a fourth question that's not numbered.
What? Oh goodness!
You don't get four.
Finally, any tips for couples in their late 20s visiting for the first time?
I think take advantage of the lounges. Take advantage of appetizers and desserts at a lot of the signature restaurants to try lots of new things.
I think so, yeah. And drinks. I think some of the bars do really well. Like I said, Art Smith's Homecoming is really good for cocktails.
Yeah, have adult fun. But also, you can have a kid fun and walk around and enjoy it just as you were a kid. Like, enjoyed Walt Disney World. Lynn, this is a quick question for you, off topic, because I'm going. World Showcase, now that Frozen is there, how does it feel? Does it feel different? Has the crowd changed?
No, I mean, in Norway, it's a little bit more crowded than it was, but the rest of World Showcase felt fine. Okay. I think the heat was driving a lot of people away.
Are the lines still outside of the Frozen? Like, how far out was the line when you were there, or was it mostly interior?
Most of it was interior, but when we first got in the line, it was only out to Akershus.
Okay.
So, you know, 50, 60 people. Not too many, yeah.
All right, moving on. Thank God that question's over. Melissa Prince has a question. Will?
No, I get to say.
Okay.
Melissa Prince has a question. Hey guys, I'm coming up. I want to do it so bad, but I will get so in so much trouble. I'm coming over from Australia. Perfect time to do an accent for a trip. She's using dates I can't read.
Oh,
23/4
Australian dates.
She's coming in the fourth month of April 23rd through the 28th of 2017. She put the day first.
Is this like the metric calendar? Is that what this is?
No, they put the day first. We'll be doing some travel around beforehand, so I will fly in from DC. We'll be landing in Orlando at midday, and I have 4 days of tickets booked non-hopper, and I'm considering adding a fifth day of tickets and having a half day at the Kingdom on the first day we arrived. Is that a bad idea? You know how hard it was to get through that without doing an Australian accent?
I don't even know what you said still. So
I think it's a great idea. Yeah, go do it. I mean, the incremental cost of a fourth day to fifth day is only like a couple dozen dollars. It's not much. Yeah, so if you're going to have half a day of fun, you know, if the park's open late, totally worth it.
All right. Terry.
Chan asks, if I want to rope drop TOT, Tower of Terror, in Disney Hollywood Studios without a fast pass, then hop to Epcot, do my initial 3 fast passes, do they have to be at Disney Hollywood Studios since I went there first, or could I make them for Epcot?
You can make them for Epcot.
Hey, and this was a follow-up to that, because I just had a question. Now that you do the Rolling Fourth, do you have to stay in the same park?
No,
so I can book on my app. Like, if I go do Hollywood Studios at night, and that's great to know. Good to know. All right, Sean, he said, best time to get a cheap long weekend to see the Christmas decorations. Are there any dead times in that Christmas season, early on maybe?
So the first week of December was looking good. Let me check the calendars real quick here.
We've gone during that time, and it's it's definitely progressively gotten more crowded. You definitely want to avoid the weekend that they're recording the parade, which you kind of don't know until much closer. And they've been moving that around the last few years.
We used to go like the week or two before Thanksgiving, and it was always fairly calm. And maybe right. I mean, they put them up so early. So
I think anything from about any, pretty much any time in October, or sorry, November, except for the weekend of the, or sorry, when is the 13th? Is that like a, is that
the wine and dine?
Yeah, let's see, November 13th. That yes, yeah, so what is that Veterans Day?
Sure. It's a holiday.
It's around there.
anything other than that in Thanksgiving. So, yeah, pretty much the first week of November, the third full week of November, sorry, the third week of November, anything but the week, week before Thanksgiving is fine. Also, I think the week that starts December 1st, which is a Thursday, and goes, you know, 7 days after that, that should also be relatively slow.
Okay. Well, take a look and look, subscribe to Touring Plans. It's not that much money. And you get to get all this information. I do it. And I did it before I was a listener. Before I was a listener. I did it as a listener. I did it before I was a on this show. I've been a member for years. So you really get your money's worth out of that. All right. This one came in. We've got a couple questions about New Year's Eve. So maybe we can find this one. This is from Erica. Said, what time? Wait, am I up next? Who's up next?
Yeah, go for it.
Are you up next?
I'm Doesn't sorry. Matter.
That was such a short one. What time should I stake out a spot for New Year's Eve fireworks at Epcot? What time should I stake out a spot for Festival of the Sky at Magic Kingdom on the 30th? What is the probability that Magic Kingdom will have phased closures on the 30th and 31st? And or the 30th of Magic Kingdom and Epcot on the 31st? So, best time to stake out fireworks as early as you can?
Yeah, as early as you can. You know, I'm just throwing this out there for the 30th. The best view of the fireworks I ever had, other than being in the Magic Kingdom on Main Street, was having a room at Bay Lake Tower so that I could go to Top of the World Lounge and watch the fireworks on the 30th. That was incredible.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, then I would say, start sticking your thing out. I'm guessing people will do that 4 hours in advance, 5 hours in advance, depending on the spot.
Yeah, I would kind of, all right, well, I'll give you my thoughts on that as well. I've done New Year's Eve, and I've never gone to the parks. I actually been in the parks, but I never stayed for the fireworks. I have gone and done the fireworks from the Grand Floridian, similar idea as Lynn, and they were phenomenal. And I actually enjoyed them better the way the 360 stuff works in with the extra fireworks. So I would suggest, along with Lynn, is it's not necessarily worth it to be in the parks that long. It's worth it. You can get the firework view from really probably any of the monorail hotels. Probably pretty awesome.
Yeah. I've been in the parks for midnight on New Year's Eve a couple of times. It's it is kind of crazy, especially that last hour, where if you're at all claustrophobic, it will be a problem for you. I mean, literally, like you can't go to the bathroom because
your shoulder to shoulder.
Space, yeah, and your space will be instantaneously gone. So if you've got small children, just know that you're never going to be able to keep that spot if you get there 4 hours in advance, unless your family is able to form a ring around you to occupy that space while people are off doing other things like going to the bathroom.
You know where a great place to see the fireworks?
Form a ring around you and you can go to the bathroom in the middle of the ring.
You go to Disney Parks blog and get the stream on New Year's Eve. It's in my living room every New Year's Eve when we're home.
Yeah, but that's lame. Come on now.
I know. All right. But there's less people there.
Well, for more reasons than one.
If you had like 100,000 people at your house, that would be absurd.
Yeah, big, good party.
No, that's like anxiety party.
It's like one person per half a square foot. House? Not even a quarter square foot. Like, that's too much. All right, Will, you going to take the next one?
Yeah, Holly Nazaro wants to know, what restaurants are the best to make large group dining reservations at?
No definition of what large is, but let's say 8 or more, maybe?
Large group reservations. So in let's break it up in the parks. Something like Beer Garden would probably work because of the way the seating thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the restaurants, frankly, that don't fill up as quickly. Things like Marrakesh is probably good. For large parties, you're probably not going to get La Cellier unless you go to group services.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think La Hacienda is probably good. In downtown Disney, I think most of the restaurants in downtown Disney will be able to accommodate things.
Yeah.
But just from a communication perspective, you won't be able to hear yourself at T-Rex or at SDK or anything like that. So, but most of the downtown Disney restaurants would be able to help you out. In the resorts, I think most of them would have availability. I mean, Ohana probably won't. Victoria and Albert might not, but most of the other restaurants probably would.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Remember, we're going to release an extra show on Friday with the additional part of our trip report, and Will's going to get to talk on that one.
if you let me.
I'm sorry it ran long, but again, we don't want to cut out any content that could help you guys trip planning, but it was a lot of fun. Again, that's going to do it. Special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter, that was playing over at Universal while we were there. So keep check offkilterrocks.com or offkilter.net for more information of their tour dates. Of course, they're going to be playing with us at the De Las Puertas Magic Media and Music Festival, dlpfest.com, September 30th at the Claremont Performing Arts Center. And also, obviously, if you're planning your next vacation, use our friends at Off to Neverland, as Will likes to say.
All you got
to
do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. Go to neverland.com. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
We'll see you on Friday.